Hi, this is Kyle Bauer with Plain Talk with the girl that's going to tell me what her happiness index is, Jamie Bloom.
So is that just today, like right now, exactly. Or in general?
You know, that occurred to me as taking this is it's like they tested all the country. They did a sampling all the countries in all the world. They did it in 2010, and then they did it again just now.
And it's so it's like, probably more overall happiness, not just how they felt that day. Although,
right.
How they answered might have been affected by how their day was going.
And then what sort of, the sort of things they talk about is, optimism toward the future and economic stability and food security and things that, so I guess if they ask you all those things, then that would change your answer a bit as compared to how you feel about the basketball game that was last night that your team lost.
Exactly. Or if you're talking about kind of your life, and or if you're talking about how you feel like our country's doing as a whole, and you know
this
what I mean.
This is your happiness index.
My happiness.
Wait a minute.
Index,
and by the way, one to ten.
Monday.
One
let's
to
see.
Ten. So,
Let's see. If it's a Monday, it's only about a seven. when you get to it, like Thursday and Friday, I'm more of an eight and a half.
You're an eight and a half.
Yeah.
All right.
It just depends. No, generally I would say overall, I would rate myself about an eight.
So would you say that in 2010, that index was higher or lower in those days? Take 12 years off of your life. Think about your life in those days. Because
it was probably about the same, really.
About the same?
I think so. Yeah. I feel like I've always been a fairly...
Well, the thing is I'm thinking that as you're raising a family, if you got a lot of kids in the house and you're running a thousand directions and you feel a lot of stress you know, that it's like I could see people in their 30s and early 40s as being tested on that because you kind of wonder if all this is really worth it, you know.
There are definitely days.
And you don't ever have enough money as long as you have kids at home.
That's true.
And after the kids get gone, then you finally start to have some money. So.
But then the kids are gone. And so,
that's the best part.
Not for me. I look back at those days. I kind of miss those days. I feel like they went too fast. So.
I think women in general, though, enjoy their time as being a mother probably more than dads enjoy being dads.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it depends on the person.
Yeah, maybe so. But, I mean, it's just such a crushing load, and you get no positive reinforcement for it whatsoever.
Definitely don't get any pay or benefits.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's mad at you. Your boss is mad at you. Your wife's mad at you. The kids are mad at you. Your parents are mad at you. You know, everybody's always upset about that you're not being able to do what they want, and there's never enough money, and then your parents start to get sick, and so then you have to take care of them, and it's like, and, yeah.
We're just a load of joy and happiness this morning talking about all of this.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying
so
that a lot of people...
So what was the survey, then?
Well, United States right now, 6.7 on happiness.
On the happiness scale.
And you said your Mondays were 7.
My Mondays are 7. So, it gets better as the... No, my overall, I would say an 8.
But that is down 6/10 from 2010. So let's hope that their surveying methods are good. And the United States is the 15th... steepest decline in but 6/10 decline is 15th in the world. I mean, that's pretty good, but we're still a 6/7. Afghanistan, on the other hand, is a 1/7, and of course we all remember what happened in Afghanistan with the United States pulling out and the Taliban taking over. And at their best they were only 4.3, but they went from a 4.3 in 2010 to a 1.7. Now, the one that I thought was interesting, though, was the happiest countries in the world. Have not all of them, but a lot of them do. Serbia, Bulgaria, Latvia.
They're the happiest countries in the world?
They have gone up the most.
They've gone up the most.
Yeah.
Okay.
Romania, Georgia, Lithuania, Kosovo, Estonia, Hungary, Bosnia, Herzegovina, North Macedonia, Armenia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. What do all those have in common?
They all ended with Stan.
No, they were all part of the USSR when the USSR was around, and 2010 was closer to that time, and they are now the most improved. And by the way, most of them are in the neighborhood of Happiness Index close to the United States. But they've gone up over a whole point, and I thought that was just really... Now, there was others also. The Philippines is going up. Nicaragua is going up. But of the top 20, I mean, I thought that was startling that those people are all feeling their life is better now, 12 years later, as they get down the road. Yeah. The other thing is they're just probably glad they're not Ukraine.
Yeah, right.
And so they're maybe taking stock of how good they have it compared to Ukraine. So
now, if I remember right, too, like the happiest country right now, is it Finland?
Well, this is only talking about
who's improved.
But you're right. It's up in that part of the world is generally the happiest. And this is only telling me in the improvement.
Okay.
And the highest one this list is is Lithuania at 6.8. But Lithuania is right next to Finland.
Oh, really?
So they're certainly in that neighborhood anyway. So,
well, I still don't think I'm probably going to plan any trips to go visit any of those countries.
Yeah, I agree. Tourist trade isn't that strong as far as I'm concerned. So.
Speaking of trips and touring, you went to Venice when you were in Italy. Got to go to Venice.
I did, and I thought it was really cool.
I did too.
I would recommend it to anyone.
I loved Venice. I thought that was so interesting. Well, now it's going to cost you a small fee to go into Venice for a day. Day trip visitors must now pay a little over $5 to visit the historic city. That was just starting last week one day, making it the first major city to charge this kind of entrance fee. The surcharge comes after numerous warnings that the city's infrastructure cannot support the over-tourism it's experiencing. UNESCO even threatened to put Venice on its list of endangered heritage sites if local authorities didn't make some changes.
So, I think they have stopped taking cruise ships at Venice. I didn't see one when we were there, but I think they used to let cruise ships dock
right
there and or right over across the bay and then come over. And I think they've stopped doing that.
So. Says it targets just single-day visitors who account for about 3 out of every 4 tourists to the city, but contribute less than 20% to total tourism spending. We spent one night there when I was there.
We spent at least 2 nights. We started the trip early and then rented a car and drove to the Alps north about 2 hours to the Austrian Alps.
Yeah.
And we were at least 2 nights, if not 3 nights, in Venice. So
some critics think the fee violates Italy's constitutional right to freedom of movement, while others say it doesn't go far enough because a measly €5 fee won't make a dent in the nearly 30 million people who visit Venice every year.
It's not that big.
It's not, no. And, you know, it's funny. We stayed, you know, really just over in the part where they're doing the gondola rides and, you know what I mean, where there's water. But there's kind of a whole nother part of Venice that we could kind of see off in the distance. We kind of wondered what that
was. You're saying across the bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the old historic touristy part, right? It's more of a newer...
Well, I don't know. We did not go to that part. But, yes, like when we rented a car, there is a bridge over to... I'll say the island of Venice. And the car rental was right there at just off the bridge. And so we rented the car and immediately left. I don't know as you can drive. And I mean, there's no streets, are there, except walking and boats?
I don't know. I didn't see. I'd have to do a little more research.
And so, you know, but across the bay, like, for instance, we landed at the airport and took a water taxi across to Venice. And I would say the airport was as far away from the island of Venice as the rest of the city was to Venice on the other direction. So it's quite a bay in there. It's built on trees. They took trees like 500 years ago and hauled them in and drove them down in the mud. And it's all sitting on these piers. And because they're in the mud and the water, they don't rot. And they were hauled hundreds of miles south from up in the forests, up in the mountains, down there. And it's all built on that.